Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ketubos Daf Samach Gimel. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Meir Sayovitz, all of the Neshamas we learn from Shev and Aliyah from our learning. And we begin on Samach Beis Omid Beis at the two dots about 20 lines up from the bottom of the Omid. We're in the middle of a fascinating series of stories, and we begin with Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinoy, Havakazil Bei Rav. Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinoy was a great Talmud Chacham. He was the author of Megillas Tainis, and he was attending the wedding of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and he was ready to go and leave the wedding and go to the Beis Medrash to go learn again for a huge period of time. So he was Bishilei at the end of Hilulei the Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and he told Reb Shimon Bar Yochai that I'm leaving. And Reb Shimon Bar Yochai told him, Amalei, wait for me. Akev li ad di osei bahadoch, wait for me until I finish the 7 days of Mishta, till I finish the Sheva Brachos. As Rashi says, "Hamten li ad sheicholu yemei chupasi, until the days of my chupa are done." In other words, until the sheva brachos are done, the elech imcha lebei rav, and I'll go with you to the Beis Medrash. Wait for me. However, Reb Chananya bar Chinoy was not ready to wait. He wanted to go right away to the Beis Medrash, and lo iakvule, and he didn't wait for him, and he went ozal. He left Yosef, and he sat trei srei shnei. He sat for 12 years lebei rav in the Beis Medrash. Until Adi Ose, when he returned after the 12 years, Ishtanu Shvile Demasa, he returned home, the streets had changed. As Rashi says, Shedivnu Beir Binyonim Chadoshim, right? There were a lot of new buildings that had gone up in the intervening 12 years. Vinistimu Bomavos, and a lot of the old alleyways had been closed off because of the new buildings. He didn't know how to get home. Below Yodala Beis Lebeise. He didn't know how to get to his house. So what did he do? Ozali went, and Yosef Agudu Dinari went to the bank of the river, and he sat over there. And he was waiting till people would come. So Shama Lahai Revisa Dahavu Korolo Bas Chachinoi. So he was at the river, and he heard them calling to a little girl. Ravisa is a little girl, and heard them calling to her, Bas Chachinoi, the daughter of Chachinoi. Now Chachinoi was his father, and they called to this girl, the granddaughter, basically the daughter of Chachinoi, the daughter of Chachinoi, because the father of Rabbi Chananya, this Rabbi Chachinoi, had raised this girl, so she was known as the daughter of Chachinoi. So he said, Malei, they told this girl, Malei Kotech, go fill up your jug, Visa, and come, Nazel, and let's go home. So Amalei said, Oh, Shmamina, it's clear to me that Hai Revisa Didan, this is my daughter. This is my daughter. They called her after my father's name. This is my daughter. So he followed her home because he didn't know how to get home. Have a yeshiva of the Visu, his wife was sitting, Kornalo Kimcha, and she was sifting some flour. See, she looks up from the flower, Dol Eino, she looks up, Chazisa, and she sees her husband. He hasn't seen him for 12 years. Savi Liba, her heart skips a beat, and Parach Rucha, and suddenly she dies. She has acute shock at seeing her husband after all these years. As Rashi says, Ro Liba, her heart sore, so to say, Klomar, Nidmen Liba, Pisom, Shazebala. It appeared to her suddenly. She was shocked, and never she had a heart attack, and she died. Parach Rucha, she died. So, Rab Chananya ben Chachinoy was a huge tzaddik. And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abba, really, God, is this fair? Ribono Shalom, Aniyazu, this poor lady, Zeschar, she's been waiting for me for 12 years, and she should be shocked now and have a heart attack, a fatal heart attack, and die? So he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Boi Rachmi Allah, he prayed that his wife should be resuscitated, and she had Tchetzem Esim V'chaya, and she came back to life. So, similarly, Rabbi Chama bar Bisa, Ozil, Yosef Trey Srei Shnei, Bivim in Russia. Another time, Rabbi Chaber Babisa went and learned for 12 years in the Beis Medrash. Again, yesterday we mentioned that there's a significance to this idea of 12. In any event, he sat for 12 years in the Beis Medrash. Ki also, when he came back home from the Beis Medrash, Omer, he said, I'm not going to do the famous Maisa with Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinoy. It must have been well known that his wife had a heart attack and died, and he resuscitated her. The Mepharshim bring down that since he was such a tzaddik, he didn't even have to do like Elisha did. He had gone Kineger Ateva, that he wasn't even willing to stay till his Chavrusa. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai finished his wedding ceremony until he finished the Sheva Brachos. He left right away. So he had gone so much Kineger Ateva, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated him Kineger Ateva as well. That's what Ben Yehuda says, and therefore he didn't have to do like Elisha. He didn't have to do the CPR that Elisha did, that he put his body on top of the body of the little child that he resuscitated, and he put his face to his mouth to his mouth, his arms to his arms, etc. He didn't have to do CPR. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to resuscitate the child came back to life by Elisha only after CPR. But here, Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinoy, his wife, came back without even having to do CPR. In any event, Rabbi Chama bar Bisa said, who says an ace is going to happen every time? So when he returned from the base medicine after 12 years, he said, Lo yabit kidavi ben Chachinoy, I'm not going to go surprise my wife. So what did he do? All Yosef ben Medrash, he went to the local base medicine town, and he sent a message to his wife that he's coming home. Shalach lebeis, say that I'm going to come home. Now, also Rabbi Shaya Berei Yosef Kamei, while Rabbi Chama Babisa is in the base medrash, his own son, Rabbi Shaya, who he did not recognize after 12 years, right, by Yosef Atzadik, we had early in the Gemara that his brothers didn't recognize him because Mistame, he was 17 when he left, and now he had a beard, and they didn't recognize him when they saw him for the next time when he was 30 years old. So that's 13 years. So here's 12 years later, Mistame. Rabbi Shaya's son was a teenager when he left, and now he's a man with a full beard, and he's coming into the Beis Medrash, and his own father, Rabbi Chama, didn't recognize his son, Rabbi Shaya. No. They're sitting in the Beis Medrash, they're sitting and talking and learning. Havakomashu lei shmaisa. So Rabbi Shaya asked him about some complicated shailas in Gemara. As Rashi says, Blo Yo'ab Makira, his father didn't recognize that this was his son. He did see, however, that he was a Talmud Chacham. He saw that he really knew what he was talking about. He was holding and learning. So Rabbi Chama saw that he had this person, Rabbi Shaya, was a big Talmud Chacham. And Cholish Daite, he felt very bad. He said, if only I had been home, instead of being in the Beis Medrash for 12 years, I would have also had a son like this. Amar, he said, if I had stayed home, I would also have been able to learn with my son and have a huge Talmud Chacham as a son. And he felt a little bit bad about that. Nope. All of they say, Rabbi Chama knew where he lived in this situation, and he went to his house, and Al-Berei and Rabbi Shaya walked with him, so to accompany him. And when they reached the house, Kom Kamei, so Rabbi Chama stood up before his son as they entered into the house, because he thought that this person, Rabbi Shaya, had come home to ask him more questions and learning. So he stood up for him as a covert. So his wife, who he now sees for the first time in 12 years, tells him, does any father stand up in front of his child? That's your son. So he hadn't recognized his own son. So the Gemara says, Kari Elei, Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama said about Rabbi Chama Bar Bisa. I don't know if this Rami is the son of Rabbi Chama Bar Bisa. I assume not, because Gemara probably would have mentioned that if it was true. So it just happens to be another Chama. But in any event, Rami Bar Chama said about Rabbi Chama Bar Bisa and Rabbi Oshaya, and he said, "Hachut Hamishulosh lo b'meiri inotek." We have the famous statement that we have from Koheles that a three-ply cord, that's how they translate Hachut Hamishulosh, a string or thread that is interwoven with three threads, so it's not easily broken. It's not easily going to be cut because it's strong, because of the three plies in it. So this is a reference to Zel Rabbi Oshaya, who is the grandson, who is the son Beno Shel Rabbi Chama, who is the father, who is the son of Rabbi Bisa, Bar Bisa, who was the grandfather. And these three were such great Talmidei Chacham, so it says that about them, this chain of great lineage will not easily be cut. And therefore, this is a great way to retain Torah, is to have a grandfather, a son, and a grandson, all who are Talmidei Chachamim. So it doesn't mean that there's a guarantee that the great-grandson will also be a Talmud Chacham, but it certainly increases the likelihood. And we see many times that you have great families where they continue to have generation after generation great Talmidei Chachamim. Again, unfortunately, sometimes you see the opposite, that even though the three generations are great, you can have a great-grandchild that never goes off the derech. There's no guarantees. However, it certainly makes it a lot more likely that if you have three generations of great Talmidei Chachamim, that the next generation will have a higher likelihood of being successful than not. And now we introduce the final story, which is the famous story I mentioned yesterday about Rabbi Akiva and Kalba Savua. So Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd, Raya, the Ben Kalba Savua Hava. He was a shepherd, the Kalba Savua. Why was he called Kalba Savua? So Rashi tells us, last Rashi on the Daf, Shem Echad Me'ashire Yerushalayim. He was one of the richest people in Yerushalayim. And he was known as Kalba Savua because that wasn't his real name. His real name, the Mishnah Yosef tells us, was Rabbi Yoshua Ben Kipos. And that's why, according to many, when Rabbi Kiva had a son, he named him after his father-in-law, Yehoshua. Some say this was Yehoshua Ben Karcha. Was Rabbi Akiva's son. That's controversial, but in any event, the real name of Kalba Savua was Rabbi Yeshua ben Kipos, and he was one of the rich people of Yerushalayim, and he was known as Kalba Savua. Should call Hanichnas Lebeis Arayim Kikelev. Anybody came into his house famished like a hungry dog, Haya Yotze Savaya, would leave the house full because he was such a generous person. In any event, Chazite Berate David Tznia Uma'ale. Kalba Savua was old to have a great daughter. Her name was Rachel. We'll see this at the end of the story. And this daughter, Rachel, was a great person. She was able to recognize in Rabbi Akiva, who at that point, for the first 40 years of his life, he was a shepherd. He had three periods of his life. First 40 years, he was a shepherd, and he was anti-religion and to a certain extent, as the Gemara elsewhere tells us, that he said, if a Talmud Chacham would come up to me, I would kick him. Now, it doesn't mean that he was truly anti-Torah and Halacha, but he thought that the Talmidei Chachamim were aloof, and they weren't treating the plain people. He was one of the plain people in the proper way. The next 40 years, he was a Talmud. He learned by many different Gedolim. His main primary rabbis were Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar. And for those 40 years, he was a great star Talmud by them, and he amassed all these Talmidim during this period of time, as we'll see in the story over here. And then for the last 40 years, he was the God of Lador. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael. In any event, the daughter of Kalba Savua saw in this very raw and unfinished Akiva at that point in time that he was a very tzenua dika person, and he was a very elevated person, umale, tzenia umale. And she said, Amrele, she said to him, listen, I see in you something special. E mikadshna loch, if I go and marry you, azalt lebirab, will you spend the next years in the Beis Medrash and becoming the giant that you, I think, can become? So Amrele in. So he said, yes, I will marry you, and I will go to the Beis Medrash. And ikachale b'tzina, she married him privately because her father would not have approved of this shidduch. She could have had any person in the Beis Medrash. She could have had the best boy in the Wayu Beis Medrash, in the Lakewood Beis Medrash, in the Ponovitcher Beis Medrash. And instead she picked this lowly shepherd, at least that's what everybody else thought, Ushtarte. And she sent him away to the yeshiva. No, her father hears. Shama avu, Kabbalah Savua hears, and afkimi beis, he throws her out of the house. How dare you do this? And adra hanoa minichse, and he makes a neder, and he asks her to get any hanoa from his nechosim. And therefore they live in poverty. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that they didn't have a bed, they had straw mattresses, and they had nothing. So he makes a neder, Kabbalah Savua, that his daughter can't get any hanoa. He's one of the richest people in the world, in all of Yerushalayim, and his daughter's now a pauper. Nevertheless, she's happy with her life. Also, Yosef Trey Sari Shtim the Beirav. Again, Rabbi Akiva went for that 12-year period of time that was very standard amongst these great, great, great Gedolim, and he went and learned the Beis Medrash for 12 years. And the Avos, the Rabbi Nosson, says that he still supported his wife. Don't think that he left her on her own. He didn't have much of a parnasa. It says that he collected wood or something else that he collected, and he would sell half of it and give half the proceeds to support his wife. In any event, Kiyosa, after 12 years, Rabbi Akiva comes back. He's already a big Talmud Chacham. Aisei Badei, Trei Srei Alfei Tamidim. And he comes back with 12,000 Tamidim, not 12,000 pairs. That's going to be after another 12 years. Here he just has 12,000 Tamidim. Not that that's a little. He has 12,000 Talmidim, and he comes back home to see his wife. However, as he's about to enter into Mistama, the neighborhood, Shame Lahu Saba de Kamala, he hears an old man. Some suggest that when it ever says Lahu Saba, it means Elio. In any event, this old man says to his wife, Rachel, and he tells her, Ad Kamam, we turn to Samachimo Bar Aleph. How much longer are you going to act as Ka Medabres Almonus Chaim? How much longer are you going to be? Rashi says, Medaberes means Atmis Naheges, that you're going to act like a living widow. Almonus Chaim. You're alive, and yet you're acting like a widow. You haven't seen your husband in 12 years. Your husband hasn't come home. You're acting like a widow, even though you're not. So that's what this old man said to Rachel, Kabbalah Savua's daughter, Rabbi Akiva's wife. Amalei, she says back to him, Iludidi Tzayis, if he would listen to me, I would tell him, another 12 years. Yosef Trei Srei Shnei Achrine. Go back and learn for another 12 years. Now, Omar, Rabbi Akiva, hears this, and he says, Birshus Ko'avidna. This is what my wife wants, so I'm going back with her permission. And he left. He didn't even see her. All the Farshim ask, why didn't Rabbi Akiva go and stop in and say hello? He's home already. Say hello. Thank you so much for letting me learn another 12 years. And go back after that. Why didn't he go back? And I heard Musa from a number of my Rebbeim, the same idea. And they all said, because an interruption in your learning is going to deteriorate or cause your learning to diminish. And even though you're talking here about a one-day interruption in two 12-year periods of learning, two separate 12 years of learning are not the same as one uninterrupted 24-year period of learning. So again, when people have an hour chavrusa and they interrupt in the middle and talk, so that detracts from the ability of that learning to be learning. When a person's learning, he should really try to spend it learning. Yeah, chavrusas have to talk to each other and they have some lighthearted conversation and ask each other how things are going, but not during the chavrusa shaft. You should really spend time in the chavrusa learning, and afterwards, at other times, you can sit and talk. Again, a high, high level, a high ideal to realize. In any event, other Ozil, he goes back and learns in the Beis Medrash. He also trace Reish Neyachrini Bebegrath and learns another 12 years in the Beis Medrash. Kiyos, now he returns after 24 years, after the second 12 year period of time, and I say by day, now he comes back now with 12,000 Tamidim, but with 12,000 pairs of Tamidim, 24,000 Tamidim. Elsewhere they're described as 12,000 pairs of Tamidim, here we describe them as 24,000 Tamidim. I say by day, Esun Viabor Alfe Tamidim, huge entourage. Shomo Devisu, his wife hears that Rabbi Akiva is coming back to town. So have a cord. So she goes out to greet him, obviously. So the neighbors tell her, listen, you're going out wearing beggar's clothing. You're not really dressed very nicely. To go out to greet the Gadol HaDor, so go and borrow a nice dress and clothe yourself properly. So she said to all the people, listen, the famous pasuk from Mishlei that says that the righteous person, the tzaddik, he knows the soul of his animal. In other words, Rabbi Akiva knows who I am. He knows what I've sacrificed, and he's not going to be impressed if I wear a nice dress or if I wear this nebuch poor person's dress. So she goes to meet Rabbi Akiva, her husband. Kimatcha legabei, when she reaches him, noflalapo, she falls on her face. And Komenashka Lelechari, and she kisses his toes, she kisses his feet. So Havu Komedchaife Lo Shame. So Rabbi Akiva's Shamish goes and pushes her away and says, What are you doing? You can't treat the God of the door like this, to kiss his feet. So I'm a little Rabbi Akiva says, No, listen, Shivkua, leave her alone. After all, everything I've accomplished, Shali, and everything I've taught you, Vishalochem. That's how Rashi explains Shali Vishalochem. Torah shalamadati ani, all the Torah that I learned, vishalimadatem, atem al yoda, who, everything that I've learned, everything I've taught you, and you've learned from me, is all because of her. Shali vishalochem, shalohu. This is probably one of the most famous part that Makidei Shir have said over at Siyumim of Shas and at Siyumim of Masechtos, that the person who's giving the Shir always says, and appropriately so, and I certainly say this, that they thank their wives for allowing them to do what they do. If I'm giving the Shir early in the morning and my wife was taking care of the children when we were growing up, or she's doing all sorts of other things, so that's allowing me to go and learn. So, v'shali v'shalochem shalohu. So Rabbi Akiva said this very, very appropriate statement, which is so true. Everything that a man accomplishes is really because of his wife. So Shoma Avua, the also Gavu Rabbi Lamosa. Now, Kalba Savua, here's the great Rabbi Akiva is coming to town. Now, he doesn't know that this is his son-in-law, Akiva, that he had banished, essentially, and had told his daughter that she's Osir Bahanor from any of his possessions. But he had charat about that. And he says, oh, my, let me go to this Talmud Chacham. He doesn't know it's his son-in-law. Ezel Gabay, Efshar de Mefer Nidrai. Maybe he felt terrible that his daughter was unfortunately not able to get any Anor from his estate, from his properties, from all of his wealth. And he said, no, I'll try to be Shol Hanor. I'll try to be Shol Neder and be made for my Neder so she can get Hanor. So he goes to Rabbi Akiva, also like Avei, and Amalei, Rabbi Akiva says to him, if he hears the story, Adaito de Gavar Rabba Amin Adarta, if you had known that your son-in-law would become a big Talmud Chacham, would you in fact have made this Neder? So Amalei said, of course not. He said, never mind, big Talmud Chacham, Afilu Perekechot. I thought that this Reah, this shepherd that my daughter married, was a total boor, a total Am Haaretz. If I knew he could even learn Afilu Perek Echad, Afilu Halacha Achas, even one Perek of Mishnah, or even one Halacha, so then I never would have made such a vow, because I just wanted my daughter to marry a Talmud Chacham. So Amalei, so Rabbi Akiva tells him, guess what? Anahu, I am that former shepherd of yours. The Mefarshim explained that he didn't even know that this was Rabbi Akiva, because he had so many shepherds, he had so many things, he didn't even know Rabbi Akiva. This is like the first time he really met him. So Rabbi Akiva tells him, I am that shepherd. The Nafal Alapay, and Kaba Savua is so enamored with Rabbi Akiva, he falls down on his face in Nashkal Kari, and he goes and kisses him on his feet as well. The Yavle Palga Mamone, and he gives Rabbi Akiva half of all of his wealth. And this way, his son-in-law and now his daughter are able to be supported in great style. The Gemara elsewhere tells us there were six reasons why Rabbi Akiva became very wealthy, and this is one of them. Now, we have a continuation of the story. Barate de Rabbi Akiva, Abdullah leben Azai Hachi. The similar exact story happened with the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, who married Ben Azai. Ben Azai is a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva. We find them being Bali Plukta throughout Shas. And most of the Mefarshim explain over here that Ben Azai only had Erisin with her. He didn't have Nisuin with her. And when he came back, he said, I'm sorry, I'm Torah is my life. I can't go and be a husband. That he was the exception to the rule, that he was the one person that Torah was so much his life that he couldn't have a family and he couldn't be married to her, and he actually ended up divorcing Rabbi Akiva's daughter. In any event, at this point in time, Rabbi Akiva's daughter did the same deal, so to say, with Ben Azeh, that he went off to learn. This is what people say. This is the popular maxim that people say. Rechela, which is a play on the words of Rachel, which was Kabbalah Savua's daughter, Rabbi Kiva's wife's name. The Rechela, the sheep, Basa Rechela Azla, the daughter followed the mother. Ka'ovde Ima, just like the mother did, Kach Ovde Barat, so too did the daughter do. Finally, one last story before we get to the next Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Bered the Rava. Rabbi Yosef, who was the son of Rava, Shadre Avui Lebei Rav, Lekame the Rabbi Yosef. He was sent by his father to go learn in the Beis Medrash of Rav Yosef. Okay, Rav Yosef went to learn by Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rava, went to learn by the Beis Medrash of the great Rav Yosef. And Paskulei Shis Shnei. And they agreed that he would have 6 years of uninterrupted learning after his marriage. So he was going to be supported for 6 years. Kiavi Tlaz Shnei, after 3 years had come and passed, so the Ben Yad explains why after 3 years and not after 2 years. So he saw that he had certain success in learning. Gemara Chulin on Daf Chavtala tells us that Rav Yossi said, Tsaru Shia Adam, Roa Simin Yotha, B'mishnaso, Shalosh Shanim, Shaz Borulo, Shetamudov, Miskayim. So in a situation where you have 3 years of learning and you have success, so then you know that you're going to continue to have success. So after 3 years, he thought, well, listen, I've had a certain modicum of success. I'm going to go home and say hello to my wife. So what happens? So it's Erev Yom Kippur. Mota Mali Yom Kippuri. It's Erev Yom Kippur. And he says, I'm going to go home and see my wife. Omar, Ezo B'yechazinu L'inshebeis. I'm going to go see my wife and my family. So Shom Avui, his father, Rava, hears this. And he's not happy about this. His father said, I wanted you to learn for 6 straight years. So Shoka Mona, he goes and takes a mona. Rashi says a mona is a weapon. Klei Zayin. Kil Boli Lochem. As if he was going to go and fight with his son. The Ben Yad and others bring down that this is a little bit like the idea of the battle always between Yaakov and Esav. Kol Yaakov. Yaakov's call is supposed to be the Beis Medrash. Hayadayim, the Esav. And Esav fights with a weapon. So his father's basically saying, if you're leaving the Beis Medrash, so you need a weapon because you're leaving the Torah and you're going out into the world, so then you need a weapon. So in any event, he took a weapon with him, but he meant to show him that this is not the right thing. And Amalei, when he reaches up with his son, he says, Zonoscha Niskarta, you remembered your Zona, meaning you remembered your wife now. Now that's a harsh language, and others have the Girsa, Zugoscha Niskarta, now you remember your wife? Now the point that Ben Yehuda makes over here is that this is a very strange thing. That he simply comes home on Erev Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to have relations with your wife on Yom Kippur. So he brings down that this was a wrong time for him to come home, in addition to coming home early, because all it's going to do is lead to Hirhurim. He's not allowed to have relations with his wife, and Rachman al-Sani could have carry on the night of Yom Kippur, which is a terrible thing. And likewise, it's going to be that much harder for his wife since he won't have relations with her. So until now, she somehow managed to be without the owner, the requirements that her husband has to her, and this is going to make it that much more difficult for her when he goes back right after Yom Kippur. He's not going to be with his wife, and it's going to make the next 3 years that much harder for her. In any event, Rav is very unhappy with what Yosef did. Before we go to the next step, though, the Gemara says, Ika Diari, others say that Amar Lei, that Rava told the son of Yosef, Yonoschon is karta. Here's a much nicer loshon, that is your dove that you now remember. In other words, your wife. He calls her a dove. It's a beautiful bird. It's very, very loyal to the husband. The Gemara describes that the tor is a bird that never gets married a second time. If the husband or the wife of the bird passes away, so then it doesn't get married a second time. So Yonoschon is karta. Now you remember your wife. So again, he's unhappy that Rav Yosef, his son, comes home. No itrud, they get into a debate, and lomar ifsik, lomar ifsik, and neither of them goes and has the sudas yom kippur. Rashi says lo achlu sudas yom kippurim shemavsikim bo achilu lisanos. So they didn't, either of them, have the suda that they had before Yom Kippur. They were so engaged in this debate, should he or should he not have come home? And in any event, they didn't eat the suda before Yom Kippur. Okay, these are fascinating stories. I know I spent a lot of time in them, and now we're a little bit behind, so let's go weiter. Next Mishnah. Hamoredes al ba'al rachmon l'san. If a woman is rebelling against her husband, we'll see in a moment what this means, either rebelling in terms of not having relations with him or refusing to do the work that she's required to do for her husband. So a woman who rebels against her husband, so the Mishnah tells us, Pochasin law miksubasa shiva dinarim b'shabes. The deducts from her ksuba what she would be entitled to, 7 dinarim every single week. B'shabes means every week. Here the lashon of Shabbos means a week, as we mentioned many times, often it does. And she loses a certain amount of ksuba. So let's say her ksuba is worth $100,000, so each week they deduct from her 7 dinarim, and eventually, if she continues to be Maredda, she'll lose her entire ksuba. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. Riudomer, it's a smaller amount, it's half that amount. Shiva trapokin. A trapokin is a tarpik, is a half of a zuz from Tsuri, and a zuz is a dinar. So therefore, this is half the amount. So it's Shiva trapokin, so this would be half of the Shiva dinarin that the Tanakhama had said. Tomorrow we'll discuss exactly what this trapokin is. In any event, ad masai hu poches, how much does this continue for? Not connected subasa. So the Tanakhama holds until the ksuba is used up. So let's say it takes 5 years for this to be using up her entire ksuba. So every week they deduct either 7 dinarim or 7 trapokin. And at the end of that time, when the ksuba is totally used up, so the woman just gets a divorce and doesn't get any money in her ksuba. According to the Tanakhama, as the Rashi tells us over here, the achekach nosin lo get, biyotze b'lo ksuba. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Avol eino masha livsok al hanechosim shenafel lo mibeis avia ulavsidim imena. But if she were to inherit something from her father at this point, so the husband wouldn't be entitled to that, and they wouldn't keep on deducting even from things that she brings into the marriage afterwards. So this is only up to her ksuba, and then she goes out without a ksuba, but she wouldn't lose these inherited properties that she got from her father. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi omer li'olam u'poches olach. You keep on going and going. In meaning, and now we have the Girsa Ad, but if you look at the Masoros HaShas, he says that the Girsa should be v'holech shema she'im tipo lo Yerusha mimokum acher, that if she were to go and get a Yerusha, let's say from one of her father's relatives, so then in that situation, she loses that also. The husband is entitled to go and take that go v'heimena as well. And it works the same way the other way. If the husband refuses his wife, so then in that situation, so she will be entitled to an additional 3 dinarim. Now, this is not the 7 dinarim. So the obvious question the we'll ask is, how come the husband deducts 7 and she only gets 3? So the Gemara will say that the loss of relations is much more felt by the husband than it is by the wife, even though this is her onus, her entitlement. So a man has a stronger sexual desire in general, and if he doesn't have relations, it's going to impact him more. So he's given a higher compensation than she is. Why 7 versus 3 and not 6 versus 3, or why is the man, so to say, getting compensated for Shabbos and the woman is not? Because it doesn't look like Schar Shabbos, because he's just deducting from his ksuba. The Gemara will say, if she were to get paid an extra half of a dinner for a Shabbos, it looks like she's getting Schar Shabbos. Anyway, we'll see this more in the Gemara. So that's the opinion of the Tanakhama, that it's half of what the husband is entitled to, again, not including Shabbos as well. And again, Rav Yehuda says, no, it's half of what the husband has, but he has a lower amount for both of them, Shlosha Trapokin. You get only 3 Trapokin and not 3 dinar. Okay, the Gemara will discuss this a little bit more. And the Gemara starts off right now and says, what does the word Moredis mean? Moredis mean my. What is she actually being Moredis from when the Mishnah told us that if she's Moredis, so she's going to lose parts of her ksuba? So Rav Huna tells us, Rav Huna Amar, Mitash Vishamita, that this is a reference to she's refusing to have relations with her husband. And Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amar, Mimalacha, that she's refusing to do the things that she's obligated to do for her husband. She's refusing to do certain work for her husband, and that's why she's called a Moredes. Now, tonight we learned in our Mishnah that the same thing applies if the husband is Morid on his wife. V'chein ha-Morid al-Ishto, so there's penalties that go into play. Now, Bishlom al-Man d'Yomim Itashmish, according to the first opinion of Huna, who says that she was Moredes to her husband and didn't have relations with him, so too, we understand. V'chein, so too, if the husband refuses to have relations with his wife, l'chayit, that makes perfectly good sense. She could refuse to have relations with her husband, or the husband could refuse to have relations with her. They both have the same parallel obligation, so to say. But the one that said that when she was Moredes, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said that she was Moredes from not doing work, so she has to do work for her husband. But me, Bishubud Law, husband doesn't have to do work for her. So doesn't make sense. So one says, yes, it does. Because Biomer, in a situation where the husband is married, he says, Ani Zon, I'm not going to support you, and I'm not going to go and take care of you. I'm not going to give you food. I'm not going to give you any support. So that, the husband is obligated to go and do for his wife. You're right. He doesn't have to do malacha for her, but he has to support her. If he's independently wealthy, he can just support her with a check. The Gemara says, well, my Rav, Omer, ain't he zon, ain't he finest. If a man says that I'm not going to go and support my wife, I'm not going to give her food, I'm not going to give her housing, etc., Yotzi, he has to go and divorce her. V'yitin ksuba, basically can force him to go and divorce her and make him give his ksuba. We don't just add on to a ksuba an extra three, either dinarim or trapokin, but you force him to go and divorce him and pay the kol ksuba. So Gemara says, v'lavli luche beboy. Gemara says, yes, that's true, but don't you first try to reconcile things? So we try to reconcile things by first making him pay a little bit more, and then if that doesn't work, then we force him to go and divorce her and give the ksuba. Gemara still questions, it says, meisvei, we have the following brisa. The brisa states, achas li, which Rashi explains means all of the following people have the status of being achas li. They're kulon shavos b'toras merit. All of the following list of women are considered identical to be a moredis, to be a woman who is moredis, despite the fact that they have certain abnormalities or conditions that prevent them from having their relations. So, this is true. Achas li, it's one and the same. A woman can be moredis, whether she's an arusa, even if she's an arusa, obviously is not allowed to go and have relations with her husband, but she's refusing to go into that second part of the marriage, the nisuin. Or she's a nisua. It makes no difference whether she's an arusa or a nisua. She could be a moredis. Afilu nida, and even if she's a nida, which is also to have relations with her husband. Afilu chola, and even if she's a woman who is sick, afilu shomeres yavim, and even if her husband passed away, and now she's just waiting to be a shomeres yavim, she died. Her husband died without having any children, so she's waiting to be taken in yibam by his brother. So the din is one and the same for all these women. Now, the next piece of the Gemara we have in parentheses, and some are in choruses. The Masoros Hashas says that lo garsinam, but we'll read it anyway because it's correct. It's just probably out of place. In any event, the Gemara says Elvi Abishlam Laman Diyam Melacha. According to Rabbi Yosef Rechanino, says that this is moredis, that she's not doing melacha for her husband. So it makes very good sense because all of these women are able to do work. However, El Laman Diyamar. But according to Rav Huna, who says that she was moredis mitashmish from having relations with him, so nida bas tashmishi, so is a nida capable of going and having relations? She's also to have relations. So how can this be moredis? So Gemara says, no, even though she's a nida, nevertheless, if she tells her husband, I'm not going to have relations with you, so he takes that to heart, even though he knows he can't have relations with her right now. He says, well, I'll be able to have relations with her in a week. So here, amalach, he is basically saying, Eino dome mishieslo pas bisalo mishainlo. So Gemara is saying that a person who knows that he'll be able to have relations is much more able to tolerate not having relations right now because she's a nida than somebody who says, well, even after she's a nida, I'm not going to be able to have relations with her. So that's the first version that we have over here, that this makes sense according to the opinion of Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, who says it's malacha that she was moredis, and not according to Rav Huna, who says mitashmish hamita he moredis. And the Gemara answers, no, this would even make sense for tashmish hamita because of eino dome mishiyesh lo pas besalo lemisha einlo. Fine. Ika the Amre, and others have this as the only gears over here, they have this as bishlam al mandiyam mitashmish. No, Rav Huna is good because of the reasons that we just said, because so therefore, Rav Huna makes very good sense. Again, so we understand why a woman who is sick could still be a moredis. She's sick, she can't go to work, but she's not that sick that she can't have tashmish. So therefore, Rav Huna makes very good sense. We turn to Samach Kimmel with Beis. However, you have a problem over here with the opinion of Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina. Ella, Laman Diyama, Rivosi Rechanina, Diyama Malacha, that she's moredis for doing Malacha, so a chola, bas Malachi, is a sick woman able to do work? Clearly not. So therefore, how do you explain this? So Gemara says, no, you're right. Everybody agrees, Ella mitashmish, kuliyama lo plige, dahavi moredis. Everybody would agree. Even Rivosi Rechanina would agree that if, in fact, she refuses to have relations, that would definitely make her moredis. And they're having a machlokis, ki plige, mi Malacha. The only machlokis is on in regards to Malacha. That you have Rav Huna disagreeing with Rav Yosef Ruchnina. Ma, Rav Huna, Sovar, mi melacha lo havi merendis. He doesn't consider that to be a merendis. In this situation, a woman has the right to say, listen, I don't want to work for you. No, you don't have to support me. Right? Any is on the, any no senes, my see a day. So she doesn't have to go give him. So therefore, that's not called a merendis. She has the right to do so, according to Rav Huna. Well, Ma, Sovar, Rav Yosef Ruchnina disagrees. He says, mi melacha, na mi havi merendis. Even if the woman doesn't want to do work, so then she is going to be considered a moredis. Gufa. Now we go back and discuss what we just learned. Ha moredis habalo, if a woman is moredis to her husband, so we said in the Mishnah, pochasin lo miksubaso shiva dinarim b'shabbos. So for each week we deduct 7 dinarim from a ksuba, according to Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shiva trapokin. That we do half of that amount, 7 trapokin. However, subsequently, the Chacham came along and said, no, this is not the right way. Our Mishnah is not the right way. We paskin shiu machrizin olel arba shabosos zu achazu. So instead, they said that we don't do the seven either dinar or matrapokin every single week until the ksub is used up 5 or 10 years later. But no, what we do is we announce in shul. We'll see, the Gemara will say, we announce in the shul, in the base medrash, in the base knesses, on Shabbos itself. Here, Shabbosos means on Shabbos itself, when nobody's at work, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment. Shumachrizin olea arba Shabbosos zuachazu. They would announce every single Shabbos, 4 Shabbosim in a row, that this woman has been a moredes. And then the Shulchan or Beistin, and Beistin sends the following message to this woman. Even if you have a huge kisuba, 100 mana of ksuba, a mana is 100 zuz. So you have 100 times 100 zuz. Then you have a huge kisuba, hisadata. You're going to lose it all if you continue in your merida, if you continue in your rebellion over here. And here's what we had before, what we said about the brisa. Achasli, this is the same, whether arusa unisua, afilu nida, afilu chola, afilu shomeres yavam. This is across the board, one and the same, no matter why, under what circumstances she's a moredes, whether she's even refusing to get married, to be in a suwa, she's in a rusa and she refuses to go to the next stage, or even if she's in a suwa, she refuses to, whether she's a nida, whether she's sick, or whether she's a shomeris yavim. In all these situations, the din is the same. If she refuses to go and be with her husband, so then the woman will lose her entire ksuba. We don't go and deduct 7 per week, but we in fact give her 4 shabbosos to make this announcement, and then we have the man not have to give her any ksuba at all, and he divorces her. So we'll see, they waited a year before they did that as well. Now, the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef l'Shmuel, Nida bas Tashmishi. So Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef asked the Shmuel, he says, wait a second, Anita is not allowed to have relations, so how can you go and have the relations over here? It's Aser. So again, the Gemara gives the answer that we brought down before in the parentheses, and here's the right place for it. So Amalei, so Shmuel says to his Talmud, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Ein Odoma Misha Ishol Pas Basalo, Misha Ein Lo Pas Basalo. The fact that he's told, while she's Anita, that she won't have relations with him, even if she's Anita, makes it that much more difficult. Says, we said in this brisa that we don't follow the mishnah of deducting 7 a week, but we in fact just make announcements of 4 straight Shabbosos. So he said, you do this in the Bate Knesios and the Midrashos, where all the people are gathered together. Nobody's out in the marketplace, so everybody's there and everybody can hear this, and that will pressure her to hopefully do the right thing. Amar Rava. Rava says there's a diuk over here that you can see from this brisa as well. Daikonami, because diktani arba shabbosos zu achar zu. It says specifically Shabbos. Why do you use this lotion of Shabbos and not doing it every single day? They're doing it just on Shabbos when everybody's not working and everybody's there and can hear this. Ah, shmamino, that's a good raya, a good diuk from the brisa. Furthermore, Amar Rami Racham, he said another thing, Pamayim Sholchin Lo Ami Beistin, that they send to her messengers twice, Achas Kodem Acharaza, once before the announcement, and Yachas Yachas Acharaza, and once after the announcement. And they do this in order to go and spur her to go and stop being a Moredes. So they did it at the beginning of the series of the 4 Shabbosim that they would announce it, and they did it at the conclusion of the 4 Shabbosos. They would send these messages to her to say, you better go and stop your Merida, because otherwise you're going to lose everything. Darish Rav Nachman by Rav Chista, halacha ki Rabbo Seinu. Rav Nachman by Rav Chista paskin that we follow this brisa and not our Mishnah. That we don't do the Mishnah's deducting of 7, either dinarim or trapokin, like the Tanakhama and review the respectively, but we follow the brisa. They just make the announcements of 4 Shabbos, and then she loses everything. That's what Rav Nachman Rav Chista said. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Hai burcha, this is not correct." Rashi says the lashon of burcha is davar she'enu hagud. That's not proper. If you look in the Masoras Hashas, in Oz Gimel, he brings down from the Gemara in Chulin where Rashi says that this is a lashon of a bar, of a pit, or of an ignorant person. The Kachi in the Aruch as well. It brings down the definition, Klomar, Dover Barusu, Ubaru Mish Omer Doverze. This is a silly thing, and somebody is a silly person. He's a boor, he's an ignorant person if he says this. And Rashi elsewhere in Shavuos brings down that it's Dover Habodoy Min Halev. It's something that is so foreign from your heart. In other words, where'd you get this from? It's a crazy thing that you're saying. So, in other words, Rava was unhappy with the statement that Rav Nachman by Rav Chisa said that we pass like the Brisa over the Mishnah. So Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista is wrong. So Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, a different Rav Nachman Yitzchak says to Rava, "My Borchasei, why is this such a strange thing? In fact, I myself was the one that told Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista this din, and I didn't make it up myself. Umishmei Gavra Rabba Amisa Nihale. And I myself said it over in the name of a great person. Who was that great person? Umanu Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. I heard it myself from Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. No, Rabba, what are you going to say to that? No, what did Rabba say? Viu Kiman Sabar. Who does Rabba hold like? Rabba held like Kiyodi Idmar Rabba Amar Rav Sheshes. Rabba held like the following statement from Rav Sheshes. What did Rav Sheshes say? Halacha Nimlochim Ba. The halacha is that we in fact go and try to go and reconcile the two. As Rashi brings down over here, in Dira Masul Nimlocha Ba, Mashin is Gita. We delay the giving of the get. Umachzirin Olah. And we try to press her. Shetachzer Ba, that she should stop her rebelliousness and try to reconcile the marriage and do marital therapy. Ubesoch Kach. And in doing so, the way we do this is Polchasin Miksubasa Shiva Dinor Bishabis or Shiva Trapoki Bishabis. So we try to force her, so to say, in a nice way to go and reconcile with her husband. So therefore, we do this deduction that our Mishnah had said, either the 7 Dinor like the Tanakhama, or the 7 Trapokim like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's who Rav is holding like. Now, Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, a different opinion, however, that Rav Sheshes held, other than what Rav said, was that Rav Sheshes held like the Braisa. Halacha einim lachem ba. We don't follow the Mishnah, but we follow the Braisa. So there were two opinions of what Rav Sheshes said. Rav held like the opinion that Rav Sheshes said we fasten like the Mishnah, whereas Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, and also Rav Huna bar Yehuda, as well as Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, as well as Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda, they all held that we fasten like the Braisa and not like the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara says, Hechi damya moredes. What exactly is the case over here of the woman who is moredes? So, Amar Amema, Amema says, the Amra, where she says, Ba'inale, I love my husband, however, umetzarnale, but I want to give him a little bit of a hard time right now because he's not doing something that I want. And we're in a little bit of a fight right now. So I want to stay married to him, but I'm going to withhold relations from him. That's the woman that's moredes. However, Amemar says, Avo Amra, if the woman says, listen, Moisalai, I can't stand the man, so then, Lo Kaifinullah, then we don't force her to get back together with him. So if she wants, she's entitled to get a divorce at that point in time. However, as Rashi says, in this situation, we don't give her her ksuba. If she says, Amra Moisalai, Lohu, Lo Ksubaso, but you know, I don't want him, but I also am saying I don't want his ksuba, so then we don't force her to stay with him. As the next Rashi says, we don't force her to stay with him. We force the man to give her a get. However, and she doesn't get entitled to a ksuba. So we don't try to force her if she says, I don't want to live with the guy because I don't like him. However, Marzuchu disagrees with the Meimar. Marzuchu Omar, no, kafinimla. We try to force her in this situation as well because we think this is the best thing for her to stay married. And in fact, such a maisa once occurred. Mara tells us, Hava Uvda, such a mice occurred, where a woman said the husband was moros to her, Va'achpa Marzutra, and Nofak Mine, Rabbi Chanina Misura. And Marzutra forced her, as his opinion was, Kaifinullah, to stay married. In other words, we do this process of deducting from the Ksuba to help force her to reconcile. They did reconcile, and in fact, they had a child. That child was the great Rabbi Chanina Misura. So you see that this was a great idea. And Mazutra says, that's why we forced them to get back together. Gemara says, Belohi, but that's not the normal thing. We don't necessarily do what Mazutra said. If the marriage, unfortunately, is not meant to be, the woman says, I really don't like my husband, so that we don't force her to stay with him. And the only reason why that worked in that situation was Hasam Siyata Dishmayahava. In that situation, with that woman that Mazutra forced to go back to her husband, there was Siyata Dishmaya, that they would have a good child, and that they would have over here a good marriage, even though it started off quite rocky. But only in that situation was there Siyata Dishmaya, but Lav Daka would be Siyata Dishmaya in every single case where the woman doesn't like the husband. He's mozed her, he's disgusting to her. Another Maisa Shaya, Kalase de Rav Zvid, the daughter-in-law of Rav Zvid, Imrida, she rebelled against her husband. Rashi explains that she found him not to be pleasant to her. The Amra, Moyes Olai, I find him disgusting to me and I can't stay married to him. Meanwhile, Hava Tfisa Chad Shira, she took one of the worn-out garments of silk that she had brought in through her Nedunya. And Yosef Ameimar Umarzutra Ravashi, these three Tamidei Chachamim, Ameimar, Umarzutra, and Ravashi, were sitting together in a Beis Din, and they said, the Yosef Rav Gamda Gabayim, by the way, Rav Gamda was also sitting there, and Yosef Ikarmi, they were sitting, and they paskin, and they said, Morda, a woman who is Moredes, Hivsida Bloseha Kayamin. They paskin that she's not entitled to have the Nichsei Tzom Barzel, the Nedunya that she brought in, she's not even entitled to take that back with her. Even when she normally would be entitled to get that back, she's not allowed to take it back with her under these circumstances when she's moredes, and she has to give that up. So this Chad Shira, this one garment, this silk garment that she took, she has to give it back. Amalur of Gamda. Rav Gamda was sitting there and listening to these three paskening. So Rav Gamda said, because Mishum de Rav Zvid Gavar Abba, because Rav Zvid is the litigant in this case, so to say, it's his daughter-in-law that's doing this against his son. So you're going to pasken like Rav Zvid, you're going to be machnifisu, you're going to go and appease him and, so to say, give out the wrong psak din over here. After all, how can you go and be machnisidule? Amalur of Kana. Rav Kana says, Mi boya boy Rava velo pasha. Rava had asked this question: is the woman entitled to the blows, the worn-out garments that she had brought into the marriage, or is not? So Rava asked this question; he never gave an answer. And here you're paskening because it's Rav Zvid's daughter-in-law, and you want to pasken like Rav Zvid, so you're paskening against the daughter-in-law. That's not right. Alternatively, others had it the exact opposite way. Ika the Amre, Yossi Kamre, the three of them paskened, Amemar, Mazutra, and Ravashi paskened, and they said, Morda, if a woman is Moredis, lo ifsida lo sel kayomen. She is entitled to get the Nirsei Tzom Barzel that are still left intact, and she can, in fact, go and take them. So this Shchad Shira, the silk garment that she had, she's allowed to go and keep. So Amu Rav Gamda was sitting there and watching them. He said, and we turned to Samach Talam and Alf, Mishum de Rav Zvid Gavar Abahu Afchisu Lei Ladino Ilavi, because Rav Zvid is such a great person, and as Rashi says, Ulo Ya'ar El Dorenu, and he's above, so to say, arguing on us, he would never go and say that we're wrong. So Machmas Avasanuso, because he's such a humble person, he's so great that he's not going to argue with us, so we should flip around the din against him. Afchisu Lei Ladino Ilavi, we should pask him against him. After all, that Rava had asked this question: is the woman entitled to, or is she not entitled to these blows? And Rava never answered the question. And here you're answering it that she's entitled to it. And because it's Rav Zvid, he's so great, he's not going to argue with you. Is that right? So again, the first version was that you're going and passing like Rav Zvid because he's such a great person. The second version was you're passing against him, and because he's so great, he won't argue with you. So the Gemara says, how do we paskin? Hashta. We have these two versions over here. Plus, we have Rava that was asking the question and never came to an answer. Is she or is she not entitled to the blows? So we say, basically, whoever has it in his possession, the other person has to prove that they're right in order to take it away. So therefore, Tofsa, if she had already grabbed this Chad Shira, if she already had taken the garment, so lo mavkino mino, we don't have the right to go and take it away from her because maybe she's entitled to it. And therefore, we say, the husband would have to prove that the din is like him in order to take it away. However, lo Tofsa, if she hasn't yet grabbed it, so it's still in the husband's possession, so then lo yivinu, we don't give it to her because we say maybe it belongs to the husband, and therefore hamos mechaber olav ra'ya, you have to go and prove it to him. And bottom line is umashinon le lo treisa yarchi shato agita. We make her wait no matter what 12 months. If we pass it like the brisa that said that we divorce her right away and she loses her ksuba, but we don't give the get right away. We wait 12 months. Why is that? Less la mizoni mibal. She doesn't get an entitlement to the mizonis from the husband, and she doesn't even have a ksuba, so hopefully she'll change her mind. And therefore, as Rashi says, ulai tachsor ba. Maybe during this 12-month period of time, but Rashi says vesulo, but not more than that. No, we'll try for 12 months. If during this 12-month period of time she says, I recant and I won't be moredis, so then she goes back to her husband and she's entitled to be supported, and she would again get her ksuba, rachman al-islam, if the husband died or he subsequently divorces her. But if she's Moredes, we pass it like the Bryce, so the Gemara says that we, in fact, don't deduct just the 7, either Zuzin or Trapikin every week, but we do it all at once, and then she loses her Ksuba, but we don't divorce her right away. Maybe during the 12-month period of time, she'll retract. With this, we conclude today's share.